If you will, allow me to share a couple of things before we get started into our lesson proper this morning. On behalf of Alex, Bonnie, and I, we want to thank each of you that so liberally gave and gave Alex the wonderful send-off last Sunday night. Lord willing, he does leave tomorrow, flying out of Springfield. He'll have about a 22-hour ordeal before he arrives either in Aberdeen or Peterhead, his final destination. So thank you. Of course, Alex is going to need to buy a car once he gets over there, find an apartment, which generally means you put down 2 months' worth of rent, open a bank account, get utilities turned on, a lot of initial type expenses, very big expenses, and your generosity has helped immensely. Some of you have been giving to his particular fund for over a year now, and you're very special in our hearts for your sacrifice and giving in that way. And again, with last Sunday night and the year's worth of giving that some of you have been doing, will make this transition very, very smooth indeed. We don't have to worry or fret at all about it. So again, thank you. Thank you for your continued prayer support in his behalf. As he leaves, you might want to remember Bonnie and I too. We're going to miss him tomorrow as well. The other thing is, on behalf of the elders, we want to thank you for your generous giving. You'll notice here on the attendance and the giving board behind me, to your right, we are already over budget for 2009, and we have a long list of things that you suggested at the budget meeting that we had a couple weeks ago. We are looking over that list. We're already moving on some things on that list. Other things, of course, will take some discussion and implementation, but rest assured, we're going to look it over, are looking it over. Please be patient, and don't be surprised if you made a suggestion on that list. We come back and ask you to be one of the principal people to help carry out some of those things on that list. And so we invite your prayers on us as elders as we work through that and try to do as much as we can to help this body improve, to grow, and to do some of the things that you have suggested that we do. All right, let's talk this morning from Romans chapter 12. Today's lesson is actually in two parts. We're going to do Romans 12 this morning and take a look at some gifts that the Apostle Paul lists there. And then tonight, we're going to take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and a different list of gifts. And so I kindly entitled today's lesson part one, and tonight then will be part two. And we invite you back to share in that particular section of Scripture as well. Here in Romans chapter 12, as Brother David has read for us just a moment ago, Paul lists some things that he wants the Romans busy doing in the body of Christ. And he says that because of the grace that we have received, verse 6 there, we have received these gifts in the body of Christ. We are saved by grace. There's no doubt about that. It is unthinkable, according to Scripture, that we would ever think that we could merit our own salvation, earn our salvation. Fact is, Jesus said that the highest rank that we could ever obtain in this life is that of an unworthy servant. Go back to Luke chapter 17 and verse 10. We are saved by grace, and what a wonderful and fabulous and powerful thought that is. And if you're like me, and I think you probably are in this aspect, you just say, well, how can I say thank you? How can I be worthy of this grace? How is it that I can return to God something for all that He has done for me, and yet so undeservingly so? And I think as we look here then in this particular passage in Romans 12, this is a way to say thank you. This is a way to return to God a very small portion, as we like to say, of what He has given us. And in this case, I'm not talking about our monetary gain. I'm talking about all the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. Notice here again in verse 6, he says, we have gifts that differ according to the grace that has been given us. Yes, we've been given grace, and we've been saved by that grace. And with that grace, God has empowered us, if you will. He has given us gifts that we are to be using in the body of Christ. And so we're going to talk about these gifts this morning here from Romans chapter 12, and then have a complimentary list tonight out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So as by way of introduction, let's back up here just a moment to verse 3, and I want to talk about some erroneous things that sometimes that we think about when we talk about spiritual gifts, and then talk about some reasons for having different gifts in the body of Christ. And that will be verses 3 through 5, and then we'll get down right into the meat of what I want to talk about, verses 6 through 8. So I hope you're following along in your Sunday talk there on page 3 where we have the sermon outline, because these things I want to talk about here are mentioned therein, and then you can fill in the blanks as we go through verses 6 through 8. Once again, notice as Paul says here in Romans 12 and verse 3, "For the grace given to me, I say to every man among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith." As you see there in the sermon outline, three things I want to bring out that are some erroneous attitudes about having gifts in the body, and that was that people might say, "Well, I can do everything that needs to be done." I've never met that brother or sister. Maybe you have. I'd like to know who they are, but I kind of get the indication of Scripture that that person doesn't exist. That truly the body of Christ is diverse. Paul makes it analogous to our human body, where we know we have all different types of organs and muscles and bones and tissues and those kinds of things. Different, but yet all working together in harmony. And he says the same is true in the body of Christ, that we should never look at ourselves and say, "Well, I can do it all." I once had a sister in Christ tell me that many, many years ago. And I guarantee you, she tried to do it all and she crashed. She collapsed. She could no more do it all than anyone could do it all. And the problem was that she wasn't talented. She was talented. It wasn't that she was not gifted. She was gifted. The fact is, she had that erroneous view that she could do everything. And when she tried to do everything, she did everything poorly and ended up not doing anything at all. She's a faithful member of the church today, and I think she's grown through that statement to realize that there's some things that she can do very well, and there's some things that she can't do very well. And so I don't want you to put yourself on a guilt trip to say as we go through this list that I've got to do all of these things. Now, we're going to get to a better balance when we get there, and I'll say more about that in a minute. The second thing that you see listed there that sometimes we erroneously think about when it comes to gifts is not only that we can do it all, but that we can't do anything. I mean, that'd be the other end of the spectrum. And we say, "Well, I'm just not very talented, and there's nothing I can do, and so-and-so is more talented than I am, and let them do that, and let somebody else do that. I can't do anything." Well, to that I say, no, you can do something. That goes right in the face of what he says there in verse 6, where Paul says emphatically, we have gifts. There are things that you can do in the body of Christ. Granted, you might not be able to do them as well as somebody else, but that doesn't mean you don't have to do them. That truly, whatever God has gifted you to do, whatever you can bring to the body of Christ, is extremely important, and you ought to be doing what you can do. That is another erroneous thought, one that we can do it all, the other one we can't do anything. Truly, you have gifts that you can bring. Sometimes in a very close proximity to that thought that we just talked about, you might think that, well, my gift is not important to the body of Christ. This is where we need to get into 1 Corinthians 12, as we will tonight, where Paul argues the very opposite. He says, those things in the body that we deem less honorable, God bestows a greater honor. God doesn't look at gifts as far as greater or lesser, more important or less important. He says, there's gifts. And I want you to use what I have gifted you. I want you to use as I have blessed you in the body of Christ. And so as we begin this lesson, I want to take care of those three right off the top. Don't go out there and think more highly of yourself than you ought, saying, I can do it all. You're headed for a crash, as that good sister did crash. On the other hand, don't say, there's nothing I can do. Yes, there is. Maybe you haven't found your gift yet, but I can help you do that. And then realize that whatever you think your gift is, don't think it's not important. Paul says all the gifts that he's given in the body of Christ are important. Well, what are some of the reasons then, as you look there in your sermon outline, that we have differing gifts and different abilities in the body of Christ? Well, one is that it helps the body function in a very systematic and coordinated way. I'll be honest with you, I've never tried to write with my toes. I let my fingers do that. And I tried it even with my left hand, and I could write a little bit with my left hand, but it's not near as good as my right hand. And so I don't put that burden on my toes to write things. That comes to my fingers. And you see where I'm headed with this here, that truly we are differing in the body of Christ because there are certain things that you can do very well, certain things you don't do very well. All right? You can do it. Oh, I suppose if I was pressed, I could probably sign my name using my feet and my toes, but wouldn't be very good. I really don't want to walk on my hands either. You know, I guess I could do that. I could get someplace walking on my hands, but I'd rather walk on my feet and use my toes. Truly the same is in the body of Christ, that we have differing gifts so that we can all bring what we have, and we put those gifts together in such a way that the feet and the toes do the walking, the hands do the writing, the ears do the listening, etc., etc., that we all do our thing, and we bring it together in a very systematic and a coordinated way, and the body works. We know that physically. We learn that spiritually as well. And so as you see there, number two, we have different gifts because it provides a place, an avenue, for every member to perform a needed service. I guarantee you, as I look out upon all of you here today, I know most of you, if not all of you, very well. And I know that you have gifts and you have abilities that I don't have. I just tip my hat and say, wow, that's great that you can do this and you can do that, because I'm not very good at what you're very good at. And so because of that, it provides an avenue for us to use that talent and use that service. If we were all dependent on me to get certain jobs done, I guarantee you certain jobs would not get done. It just wouldn't happen, all right? And that's my fault. But the body isn't put together that way. That's why we need one another. We need the gifts and abilities that each one has so that we can function as a body, as a church, as we should. And so this helps dispel disharmony in the body. When we understand that the eyes do the seeing and the ears do the hearing and the mouth does the talking and the eating and et cetera, and we put that into the body of Christ spiritually, then we relax and we say, you take care of this and you take care of that and I'll take care of thus and so. And we can work in harmony one with another using our gifts and ability that God has given us. The human body is a beautiful thing, and I just really like to watch athletes and the grace that they have and how they make sports and running and jumping look so easy. You watch these Olympic athletes and how far they can jump, how fast they can run, and how their form is just perfect. It's just beauty in motion. The church can be the same way. That truly when we're working in harmony one with another, each using the gifts that God has given us in coordination with everybody else, it's a beautiful thing, just as God wants it to be. All right, so let's move down then, as we need to glorify God with what we have and what He has given us, and talk about seven gifts here in verses 6 through 8 that you need to identify with and use to the best of your ability. Now, I hope you find yourself in this list in two ways. We're going to be listing and talking briefly about these seven gifts, and I hope as we go through them, there's at least one in this list, if not two, that you can say, yep, I can do that. You know, that's me. You're talking about me when you're talking about that. Because, again, you have gifts. Don't sit there and think, oh, you're not going to talk about me. You know, don't say, oh, this list ain't going to encourage me, or it's not going to find me. Wait a minute, didn't we just read here, we have gifts? To some extent, you need to find yourself in this list, all right? Now, the other way that you want to find yourself in this list may be just the opposite, in the sense of, wow, that's a gift I really need to work on. And I don't think we ought to just say, well, you know, I got the gift of serving, and therefore I don't have to give mercy. I don't think Paul really, you know, worked on it that way, okay? It's the idea that, yes, there'll be some that are very good servants, and they just hop to it when there's a need, and they're right there, and they see it even before it's a need kind of thing. But that doesn't excuse them from not showing mercy when mercy is the gift that's needed. And that's what the need is in the body of Christ. And so I hope as we go through this here over the next few minutes, you find yourself, yes, this is a strength of mine. And yes, you'll see maybe something that is a weakness right now that you say, here's something I need to work on. Here's something that I need to grow into and try to do a better job of. And if we can look at this list that way, I think we'll bring so much to the body that needs to be used that it will be a positive and a wonderful thing. All right, number one here, if you're filling in, it says that truly Paul mentions the gift of prophecy or the gift of preaching, depending on your translation. He says here, if prophecy, do so according to the proportion of your faith. Timothy was told by the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 4 not to neglect the spiritual gift within you. Truly, there was a gift that Timothy had, and he was not to neglect it. He was to use that gift of preaching, of being able to share God's Word to the best of his ability and to the glory of God. People who generally have the gift of prophecy are those who can articulate well. And you see, I'm not necessarily talking about here the fact that to get up here behind the podium and to be able to preach, because you ladies out there will say, well, this doesn't apply to me because I sure can't preach. Bible won't let me preach, you know, in the assembly of the saints. And I understand that. But I think it's farther reaching. It's the idea of sharing your faith, of being evangelistic, of being able to, in a group that you might find yourself in, to very easily and very comfortably, very articulately share your faith. And truly, if that's something that comes very naturally to you and you enjoy that, even though you may be a woman, you may have the gift of prophecy. May not be able to use it in the assembly, but oh, can you use it? The opportunities abound for you to use that. And so if you're a person who articulates your thoughts very well, if you have a strong desire to see book, chapter, and verse type affirmation of what is being taught or said, if you like to see people respond to the message, you may very well have the gift of prophecy. You need to be out there sharing your faith with a lost and a dying world. Fact is, if you have a compulsion to do that, if there's just something inside you that just kind of burns to say, I need to get the message out. I need to go talk to so-and-so. I need to put myself in this situation and that situation so that I can share my faith, you may very well have the gift of prophecy. So think about that as you go out every day. Now, it may be this is one of your weakest areas. You might be saying, I'm scared to death to share my faith. All right, that's a starting place. Got to start somewhere. Maybe you're in the scared to death stage. All right, move up to the not so scared to death stage. Okay, start working on that, seeing opportunities where you can share your faith and use what little, if you think you have, gift of prophecy. Number two here is the gift of service. Number two is the gift of serving. Of course, this is just like Jesus, who said in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28, for the Son of Man did not come into the world to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. Jesus came to serve and to give his life as a ransom to many. And truly, those are two gifts right here in this list, and we'll get to giving here in just a moment. But those who enjoy serving don't mind manual labor. Yeah, he's not some Mexican that moved up here, you know, manual labor. Little joke there, just a tiny bit of joke. No, manual labor means we don't mind working. We don't mind getting in there and getting dirty. We don't mind getting in there and having to maybe physically work hard. And a lot of times those who have the gift of service give unexpected service. They go that second mile. They go that third mile. They say situations where they can serve almost before they happen. Because they're just so in tune to the needs of people and say, you know what, if this happens, then chances are something else is going to happen, and if that something else happens, we need to be there and help them with that. If you think along those lines and you see those kinds of opportunities, you may very well have the gift of service. Somewhat of a caveat here, a warning, people who have the gift of service generally are people who have a hard time saying no. you know, when things happen and say, well, we need somebody to help here, and we need somebody to help with that and help with this, then you're always there. You just can't seem to say no to those opportunities. And that's a good thing, but again, it can degenerate into a Superman or Superwoman that says, I can do it all. And truly, we don't want to go that route. But truly, if you're a person who doesn't mind to work and that you see opportunities that come your way and have a hard time saying no, then truly you may have the gift of service, and that whenever that opportunity is there, you're ready to jump at it, and you know the true joy of giving that service to another. It's not, you're not in it for the good, you're in it for somebody else's good, and your joy comes from seeing that person helped, that person aided in some way. Number three is the gift of teaching that Paul talks about here in Romans chapter 12. Again, going back to our text, he says then, if preaching in a proportion to your faith, if service, do so in your serving, and he who teaches in his teaching. Teaching is extremely, extremely important. Parents should do it daily with their children. That goes all the way back to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and some of the things that Alex talked about last Sunday night in his particular lesson. But knowing the Word of God and being able to teach one another one-on-one, one-on-two, with your family, with your spouse, with your friends, is an extremely wonderful and profitable gift. Those who have the gift of teaching are generally very attuned to what's false. Those who have the gift of teaching, when they hear something that isn't quite right by the Scriptures, they're not necessarily a person who wants to just jump down somebody's throat and say, that's not right. No, we shouldn't do that. We should be kind in our teaching. But yet those who have the gift of teaching recognize what is true and what is false, and they like to correct the false and make it true. They like to say, well, that's a very popular belief, but the Bible doesn't teach that. And you gently take that person who believes what is false and help them understand what the Bible really has to say. I think a person who has the gift of teaching will always keep their doctrine in good balance. They realize that as a teacher that it's easy to get into extremes. And anytime you get into extreme to the right and way too conservative, or an extreme to the left, way too liberal, that isn't spiritually healthy. But truly, the Bible talks about being spiritually healthy in its doctrine. You can go back to Titus chapter 1 there, and about healthy doctrine. And truly, those that have the gift of teaching aren't interested in being extreme this or extreme that or extreme anything. What they are interested in is letting people know what the Word of God says. And that truly there'll be people that can be trusted to have that good balance about the Word of God. They find joy in the preparation of classes. Now, believe it or not, those teachers that I would put that really had this gift have all told me this very thing, that they actually enjoy the preparation for class more than giving the class. They enjoy the study. They enjoy the reading. They enjoy the preparation. Are you like that? Are you, when you would teach maybe a young person's class, a high school class, even you Christian men and teaching the adult classes here, do you enjoy that time in preparation? Do you enjoy that time of study and opening the Bible and other study material books and digging? Chances are, if you do, you've got the gift of teaching. And truly, you examine things in the light of Bible, that is, new things. Every now and then there'll be this supposed new idea, this new philosophy to come out, and everybody's doing this, everybody's thinking that. And it doesn't scare those with the gift of teaching, because they enjoy trying to see, how does this fit with what the Bible says? Is there any truth to this new way of thinking, to this new philosophy? You enjoy having your horizons expanded to say, well, you know what? Some people think this and some people think that, but I know where the truth is. And you learn just that way. Number four is the gift of exhortation. The gift of exhortation. Truly, we are to be people who encourage one another. We are to people who warn in their encouragement to say, stay away from this and stay away from that. Don't fall into this trap. That would be exhortation, warning people of the avenues of sin and how certain things that we might want to get into in life just don't work, because God says they don't work. Truly, to be an encourager is such a valuable thing. The world can be a very depressing place. The world can be very filling of the negative. by and part, just listen to the radio news or the TV news. In many ways, it's always so negative, so many problems, so many downers. To have a Barnabas in your life, to have someone who's an encourager to help you to keep on keeping on and see the brighter side of life is just so, so important. And maybe you have the gift then of exhortation, to be able to brighten that room by entering it, and truly you can encourage those to do better and to console those who are hurting and discouraged and depressed. If you have that gift of exhortation, by all means, use it. Number five, then, the gift of giving. The gift of giving. Jesus said it this way over in Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. They will pour it into your lap. For by the standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return." Now, I hope that our giving does not degenerate into "that's why we give, so that we can receive." Unfortunately, some people may view it that way. They look at this verse and say, boy, if I want to get all I can get, then I need to start giving. That's a very selfish motive. That's not the point. The point is, you cannot give God. Giving should be such a wonderful thing, such a joyous thing, because the more you give, you'll never be able to give God. There'll be more that you can give. The well will never go dry. The storehouse will never be empty. That truly, the more that you determine to give and to exercise your gift of giving, God will give you even more that you can give. Truly, He'll give it to you, pressed down, shaken over, running over. They'll just pour it into your lap, He will. What a wonderful cycle to be in, to love to give and know that you never can outgive God. And that as your giving increases, God's blessing to you to give even more will be there. If you can handle large sums of money without worry or bother, you might have the gift of giving. If you always stay alert to the needs of others and realize that they may be hurting in their life and then you can give to them, you may have the gift of giving. If you're willing to give to the Lord's work, even when the need isn't obvious, you may have the gift of giving. You just kind of invent things and say, I can give over here, and I can do this, and I can see this getting started. If you think along those lines and are always dreaming about ways that you can give to the body and give to others, you may very well have the gift of giving. I guess on the other side, which I haven't mentioned here for a while, if you're weak in this area, let's work on our selfishness. Let's work on our materialistic attitudes that want to just hoard everything for ourselves and learn that the life that Jesus wants us to have is the life of giving, giving to others. Because truly those with the gift of giving always look to the Lord for provision and direction in that giving. And so if you're a giver, keep doing so. The world needs you. We need you. You can be of such tremendous service in the body of Christ. Number six is leading. Number six, some of your translations here say ruling. And I wondered, you know, what was really being brought out here in this particular Greek word that is sometimes translated leading or ruling. And interestingly enough, that within my study, there's also a tint of organization in here. That truly good leaders are generally good organizers. Good rulers, when they are just that, good rulers are good organizers. They know how to get things done. They just see problems that others might see as just being chaotic, and they say, you know what, we can make sense out of this. We can separate this over here, and we can do this here, and if you'll just do that over there, we'll get this job done. Aha, you got a leader. He's not trying to do it all, or she's not trying to do it all, but they know how to get people and tasks and organizational things done to where the job that seemed impossible is now very, very possible. Maybe you have that gift of leading, that gift of organization, that gift of being able to get the right resources and the right people in the right place at the right time. Ah, if so, you have the gift of leadership. Leadership has the eagerness to see jobs done as soon as possible. Hey, we can get this accomplished. We'll just do A, B, C, or 1, 2, 3. You have the ability to delegate without being dominant. You're not in it for you. You're in it to see the job done. And you delegate your authority or your wisdom and ability so that others get the glory and others get the credit. And the bottom line is, the job is completed. You're organized in such a way to get difficult jobs done. You don't see difficulty as being impossible. You just see it having something to be organized. Something we haven't really looked at from the proper light yet and how to get it done. And truly, if you view things that way, you may have the gift of leadership. You're able to make decisions and carry them out. Truly, you know what you need to do and what needs to be done, and you don't dilly-dally, you don't ride the fence. You say, here's what we're going to try, here's what we're going to do. Let's see if we can carry it out. And number seven, then, the last one in this particular list, is showing mercy. And it's definitely not the least of the important. I don't think there's any order here of Paul as far as most important to least important whatsoever. But showing mercy, that's what the parable of the Good Samaritan's all about. Go back and read it again. That truly the lawyer wanted to know, who's my neighbor? And Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan in answer to that question. And then he says, who do you think proved to be a neighbor to him? And the lawyer said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said, you have answered correctly. Go and do the same. We put great emphasis on that wonderful story, the story of the Good Samaritan. And it's all about showing mercy to our neighbor. It's all about doing good, to being able to be loving and kind and empathize and being sympathetic. Truly, if you have that wonderful heart within you that bleeds when others bleed, that truly when they hurt, you hurt. When they're joyous, you're joyous, and you don't have any kind of pride or jealousy over their joy, you may very well have the gift of mercy. What a wonderful gift that is, that you're able to sense very easily where people are. Are they happy? Are they sad? Are they worried? Are they concerned? Are they depressed? If you have the gift of mercy and you can just read it on their face and you see it in their life, be that encourager to them. Show them the mercy that they need. If you enjoy working with those less fortunate, those that may not be able to fare for themselves, and you have that special love and ability to just get right in there with them, you probably have the gift of mercy. You probably avoid being firm unless it yields some benefit. You're not here to draw lines. You're not here to be rigid and stiff and put up a wall or a barrier. You love and you care, and you're just in it for their good, no matter how you can bring that love and that acceptance to them. And truly, you have the gift of mercy if you have a sense of loyalty, even when attacked. Sometimes people do the right thing and get attacked for doing the right thing, and then they just kind of wilt, and they say, well, that's the way it's going to be. If I'm going to try to do the right thing, get kicked in the teeth for doing it, then forget it. I'm not going to do it. I've found people that are able to show mercy, they just keep going. The fact is, they have mercy on the person that's kicking them in the teeth. They're the ones that have to grow. They're the ones that have a lesson yet to be learned about showing mercy. Well, did you see yourself? I hope you did. I hope in those seven things that you've mentioned there, you found at least one to say, I can capitalize on that one. I can do things in the body of Christ that way, and I want you to do just that. I want you to take it upon yourself to be able to reach out in one of these seven ways. And if you want to reach out and you need some organizational structure, then come to us as elders, and we'll find a way for you to use your gift. And maybe as you've gone through this list, you've seen something in there that you say, yeah, I got to be honest, I don't do this very well. You've found an area where you have great room to grow. You have found an area where you can now learn to be more like Jesus, because wouldn't you agree with me that in all of those things, he was absolutely the best? He is the role model for sure. As we extend heaven's invitation, we want to extend it to those who are outside of Christ, because that's how you begin your work in the body, is by being added to the body. And so if you need to become a Christian this morning, we want you to do that. And then we're going to help you find your gift or find your gifts, and help you to use them for the body and the glory of the Lord. And we're going to help you in those areas that you want help, in those areas you don't do so well in, that you can grow and become more like Jesus. Do you need to repent of sins as a child of God and come back to faithful and active service to Him? Well, you can do that now. Do you need to come? A song has been selected to encourage you. Won't you come while we stand and while we sing?